Hare Krishna. So we'll start with Canto 1, Chapter 15. The Pandavas retire timely. Based on the teachings of Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So before going into the chapter, we'll recite this prayer together. Narayanam namaskrityam naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam udirai nashtaprayeshu avadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttamas loke bhakti bhavati naishtaki. So before chapter 15 was chapter 14, which is disappearance of Lord Krishna. So the class is happening after a long time. So I'll just review a little bit what happened in chapter 14. So chapter 14 verse 1 to 9, the theme was that Arjuna has not returned and Maharaj Yudhishthira is worried why he didn't return from Dwaraka. And he notices inauspicious signs which reveals that Lord Krishna has left the material world. So he is kind of worried about that. And then next 11 verses, the king Yudhishthira tells Bhimsena the omens he has seen, and he concludes that
Hari Bol. So whatever devotee come here, could you tell them to stay for Harivilas class or something?
Is there a class later on?
Yeah, 10:30.
10:30? Okay.
Yeah, and he wants to put a chair. Whatever devotee is coming, they have
to stay until his class. Okay. So other devotees also come. Okay. Yeah. So King Yudhishthira tells Bhimsena the omens he has seen, and he concludes that Krishna's footprints will no longer grace this world. So he sees all these omen signs and he concludes that, you know, this is because Lord has left this material world. And then 22 to 44, the description is given that the Arjuna suddenly returns from Dwarka and the king Yudhishthira is in anxiety after seeing Arjuna, and Arjuna is very morose. So he is not asking the question directly, but he is asking about the welfare of the Yadus. But seeing Arjuna's dejection countenance, the king Yudhishthira concludes that it is only possible because Krishna has left this material world. This brings us to the beginning of chapter 2. So here in chapter 15. So in chapter 15 there are 10 verses which I'll cover, and the first 6 verses is Arjuna's grief stricken and overwhelmed, remembers Krishna and begins explaining that Krishna, his dear most friend, has left this planet. So here he reveals that it's not a secret, but reveals the bad news to King Yudhishthira. And then the last 4 verse is a story time. Basically, Arjuna retells all the experience that he had, and he is sure that all these things which happened, and wherever they had protection, or wherever he had done, or he could kill hundreds of people, thousands of people, and even defeat the demigods. So all this empowerment was given by Lord Krishna. And now he has left the world. So he is retelling all those pastimes. So this brings us to the first verse. Let's recite the verse together. Suta vacha evam Krishna sakha Krishna Bharata rajana vikalpitaha nana sankaspadam rupam Krishna Vilesha. Sutta Goswami said, Arjuna, the celebrated friend of Lord Krishna, was grief-stricken because of his strong feelings of separation from Krishna over and above all Maharaj Yudhishthira's speculative inquiries. So these first 6 words are just the symptoms of grief. So we'll quickly go over that. And those symptoms of grief in this particular verse, he is choked up and is unable to reply to the queries of Maharaj Yudhishthira. Next verse. Sokena susuyat vadana vita jodhata prabaha vibhum eva eva vishudran na ankto pratibhyam. Due to grief, Arjuna's mouth and lotus-like heart had dried up. Therefore, his body lost all lusters. Now, removing the Supreme Lord, he could hardly utter a word in reply. So, this is a continuation of the symptom of his grief. His mouth and lotus-like heart dried up. He lost all the bodily luster. Hardly uttered a like utter, and he could not even speak.
Okay.
So this is basically 1 to 6 is Arjuna's lamentation.
But actually, if they are not attending, you can stop sharing if you want.
Oh, should I stop sharing? Okay.
Mataji said she is not attending.
Okay.
So you just click stop sharing.
Where is that?
The top.
On the top.
Oh, we should go to the second.
Okay. Mic is here. Yes. I think it's recording. Yeah. Third verse. Krishna stambya suja panina amraja nitoha parokshena samudha. Pranaya Ankuta Kartaha. With great difficulty he checked the tears of grief that smeared his eyes. He was very distressed because Lord was out of his sight and he increasingly felt affection for him. So, you know, because of the grief of Krishna leaving, his dearmost friend leaving him, these are the symptoms. One more time, you know, he had this thing in future, because this is before the Kurukshetra war. So the same kind of symptoms he is showing in the Kurukshetra war before beginning the war. Right? So with great difficulty he checked the tear, which is basically chapter 1 of Bhagavad Gita. Right? He is showing all these kind of symptoms. With great distress because the Lord was here, it is the reason is actually I'm sorry, it is after Kurukshetra war. This is after Kurukshetra war. So Lord was out of sight and he increasingly felt affection about this. Sakyam maitram suhudrim cha sataya adusho samsaram narpam ajatam itiha baspa gadgadaya giraha. Remembering Lord and his well wishes, benefactions, intimate familial relationship and his chariot driving, Arjuna, overwhelmed and breathing very heavily, began to speak. So till now he is not even speaking, you know, he is showing all these symptoms. So now he is going to speak to Maharaj Yudhishthir. So he remembers all the wishes and benefactions and familial relationship. So what is the familial relationship he has with Lord Krishna? Because Lord Krishna's cousin, and other thing is Lord Krishna's sister Subhadra, he got married to her. So that is the relationship he is talking about. And also being superior to him, he is a chariot driver, but being even superior to him, he takes the role of a chariot driver. So these are some of the symptoms. In the fifth verse, let's recite together. Arjuna vacha vichita vaham maharaja harina bandhu rupina yema bibe jai jao deva vispamanam maha. Arjuna said, O king, the supreme personality of Godhead, Hari, who treated me exactly like an intimate friend, has left me alone. Thus my astounding power, which astonished even the demigod, is no longer with me. So Arjuna is recalling that the powers which was given to him in this particular verse was due to Lord Krishna. And further he will recall all those pastimes where he did extraordinary things And he could do only because Lord Krishna gave him those powers. And when Lord Krishna left this world, these powers were taken away. So Srila Prabhupada, in the purport, very nicely explains this point. In Bhagavad Gita 10:41, the Lord says, anyone specifically powerful and opulent in the wealth, strength, beauty, knowledge, and all that is materially desirable is to be considered but a product of an insignificant portion of the complete whole of my energy. This is 10.41. So Prabhupada says this point that no one therefore can be independently powerful in any measure without being endowed by the Lord. So the Lord, when he comes or when he descends to this material world, he doesn't come alone. He comes with his associates and he has a purpose. So in order to fulfill this purpose, you know, his associates also comes and they participate in his pastimes. And he equally empowers them, whatever is required. So he empowered Arjuna with the strength of fighting like anything, you know, like nobody in the world. He could not be, he was invincible, practically invincible. So that is what Prabhupada is saying, that these powers are given to the devotee. And when the job is done, then the power is no more required. So it is taken away. So one must not be proud when they have these powers. You know, somebody might have a power of speech, somebody might be good in beauty dressings. You know, Lord is giving those powers. Somebody might be good in cooking or something. You know, there can be anything. And they are the best. But they should not think that this is because of me. And should not get proud of that. So the lesson is therefore, last paragraph, that no one should be puffed up for his powers borrowed from the Lord. The sane man should rather feel obliged to the Lord for such benefactions and must utilize the powers for the service of the Lord. Such power can be withdrawn at any time by the Lord. Yes. So this is the thing, right? If we become puffed up or proud that this is my own thing or my own creation or I own it, they become proud and at any time they can lose it. So the best use of such power and opulence is to engage them in the service of the Lord. Next verse.
Yes, yogena lokahi apriya darshana utkena rati hisa markata prajyate yatha.
I have just lost him whose separation for a moment would render all the universes unfavorable and void, like bodies without life. So Prabhupada in this purport explains that for living being there is no one dearer to him than the Lord. We have multiple relationships, right? But we will be only fully satisfied when we have a relationship with Lord. All the other relationships are temporary and that will not give us satisfaction. There will be some or other issues. So the only relationship that makes perfect sense to us is the relationship with the Lord, and he is the most dear to us. Suhidam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam satvichati. When we know this, then we get a complete peace. The second thing which Prabhupada describes in this purport is that everything in this world is basically dependent on Krishna. It is not independent of the Lord. Even the Brahman and the Paramatma, they are dependent on Lord Krishna, the personal form of the Lord. So therefore he is the vital principle of everything. So that was the last verse in section 1, and now we are in section 2. So section 2 is Arjuna remembering the pastimes which happened. So basically it's a story time. I'll give my best. Yes. Yes, I'll try to finish by 10:30. So effectively I have only 25 minutes, so I'll try to go quickly over the pastimes, what Arjuna remembers, okay? Yes, okay, I'll do that. let's recite the verse together. I don't know the meter. So there's Dhrubhiham Upagatam Nam Rajan Kesavarnam Tejaritam Kalau Maya Vitasitaha Sajja Kirtena Dhanushatya Krishna. So in this particular place, or in this particular verse, you know, Arjuna is describing Draupadi's Swayamvara. So the story begins at the point where Drupada actually insulted Drona. Right? Remember that past time where Drupada insulted Drona? And Dronacharya, you know, he wanted to teach him a lesson, not as a revenge, but he wants to teach him a lesson that, you know, he is not following the principle. He is a king and he is not following that. So what he decided was, he will teach all the Kauravas and the Pandavas the archery and, you know, different martial arts, and then his students will capture Drupada. So that's what happened at the end. Arjuna, he dragged Drupada, and that was their Guru Dakshina. He dragged Drupada after defeating him, and he brought in front of Dronacharya. So Drupada didn't feel very insulted by this act of Arjuna. He was very happy that this is the most suitable candidate for my daughter. His daughter was Draupadi. So then Drupada decided that he would perform a swayamvar for his daughter, and the task would be such that only Arjuna and Karna can do that or perform that act. So this is the thing, you know, they have to see in the water and shoot in the eye of the fish. Anyway, at that time, you know, the Lakshagraha thing happened, and they were in the forest, and Krishna came from Dwaraka to perform their final rites. So he was also invited in the Swayamvar ceremony. So Krishna was present there, and these Pandavas, they heard about that, and they came to the Swayamvar ceremony to participate in the Swayamvar ceremony. So Karna was invited to participate in this also, but he was not allowed to perform because he was from a Shudra family. So finally Arjuna did this task and he gets married to Draupadi. But the kings over there, they were very, very hurtful about this. And Karna specifically, you know, he got hurt about that incident that he was not allowed to participate because of his birth as a Shudra. So he didn't forgive that incident. So Prabhupada, you know, narrates in that forgiveness is a quality which, if it is not given, then it actually hurts us. And he kept this thing in his mind all during his lifetime. And because of that, you know, it was part of the reason for his destruction. Anyway, in the assembly, after the Swayamvar happened and after the marriage, this king, all the kings, they fought with Arjuna. So Arjuna and Bhima, single-handedly, I mean, two of them, they defeated the entire kings in the assembly. And Arjuna attributes that power which he got to defeat those kings to Lord Krishna. So he says that, only by his merciful strength, I was able to vanquish all the lusty princes assembled at the place of King Drupada for the selection of bridegroom. With my bow and arrow, I could pierce the fish target and thereby gain the hands of Draupadi. So this was the pastimes of the marriage of Arjuna and Draupadi. Once they were married, they went to Kunti, and then she said, you know, whatever you have, you distribute among yourselves. But she was a lady, you know, who, and they are, you know, if that is the case, then they have to be distributed among the five men. How is that possible? So then Queen Kunti came up with a rule that each of you will spend 1 month with Draupadi. So that was the rule she set up. Anyway, let's go to this particular verse, and that is connected to this. Let's read this.
Yes, Sandhya Bhamu Kandam Rajateda
इन्द्रं जगद्वरगणं तरस्य विजेता लब्धा शब्दा मया कृता अद्वैतमाया दिग्भय हर्यन्न पितायो बलिम् अवदधेति।
So this rule was set by Mother Kunti, but once what happened that there were some cowherd men and they were attacked by dacoits. So they went to Arjuna and asked for protection, that please protect us. Now at that point of time, Yudhishthira was there with Draupadi in the room, and the bow and arrow was in the same room. So Arjuna just opened the door and went in. Even he didn't follow that rule which was set by his mother, and protection came first. So he went inside the room and he took the bow and arrow, and then he fought with these dacoits and defeated them. And then and the cows were released. So after that, Arjuna goes to Yudhishthira and says that, you know, I have broken the rule set by Mother Kunti, so I have to go for a penance. So I'll go to pilgrimage for 1 year. So Yudhishthira said, no, that it's not required, you know, this was a top priority. Mm-hmm. It is not required, you didn't break any rules. So he said, no, I have to do it for my purification. So Arjuna goes for a pilgrimage for about 1 year. On the pilgrimage, many things happen. But one of the part was that he also visited Dwarka. And when he visited Dwarka, he saw Subhadra over there and he fell in love with her. And then he wanted to marry her. So I know Krishna also had his plans. But anyway, finally, you know, he married Subhadra and he came back. When he came back, Draupadi was not happy. And she was not happy about this. So anyway, Arjuna told Subhadra that we have to patch up. So Arjuna gave her a plan that you dress as a gopi of Vrindavan, and then you go to her and go to Draupadi and serve her, and she will be very happy with your characteristics and your, you know, the qualities which you have. So this happened, and then she went to Draupadi, and Draupadi was very happy with her services, and she said, she benedicted her that, you know, you will have a nice husband and you will have a nice child. So she said, I already have a nice husband. And that is Arjuna, and I am Subhadra, sister of Balaram and Krishna. So anyway, the patch up happened. She was very happy with her characteristics and qualities. And then they spent a lot of time together, you know, hearing about Subhadra and Draupadi. They spent a lot of time together hearing about Lord Krishna. Meanwhile, you know, Lord Krishna came to Indraprastha, because he came with the dowry. There was a dowry system. So it indicates that there was a dowry system at that time also. So he came with dowries, and there were thousands of elephants, golden chariots, celestial chariots, jewels, and that's where all presented to Krishna. And when Krishna came there, Arjuna was very happy to see him, and they both have spent some time together. So once in one day, you know, what happened is Arjuna asked Krishna that let's go near a river. There was a river flowing by near a forest, and there were now nice cottage house, you know. So let's go and spend some time over there. So then they go there, and there was an ivory chair, a table actually, kind of thing, and chair. So they went and sat there when they were just having nice exchanges. So out of the forest at that time came a very effulgent figure, you know. Like, he was very tall, a brahmana who came out of the forest, and he came in front of Arjuna and Krishna. So it was so effulgent that that they both bow down in front of him and then they say, well, how can we serve you? So that person who came, he said, I am very hungry, please feed me. So Arjuna and Krishna said, let's go to the palace, we'll feed you whatever you want. He said, no, my food is not that. I want a different food. And the food, different food is, I want to eat the forest. So they were like confused that why he wants to eat the forest. Then he introduces himself that I am Agni. And I have an indigestion. So I went to Dr. Brahma and he suggested that you go to this particular forest. It's a Khandava forest. And you can devour that forest, and the forest has some herbs. And those herbs, when you devour it, you take it, then your indigestion will be cured. So that's why he wants to do that. But the problem is that Lord Indra is not allowing me to do that. As soon as I start devouring the forest, Lord Indra has some friends who are residing in this forest. So he sends torrential rain and he stops the fire. So please help me. So Arjuna says that, yeah, I can help you. Before that he says that I cannot do it. So he said that I went to Brahmaji again, and then he said that Indra is doing this. So he said like, okay, you know, you go to Arjuna and Krishna, who is in the Indraprastha, and then describe your problem. They will be able to help you out. So that's why he comes here and meets Arjuna and Krishna. So Arjuna says that, yes, I have many unlimited celestial weapons and I can do the job. But I have three problems. And the problems are, number one, I don't have a suitable bow to fire the celestial weapon. Second thing is, I need a quiver with inexhaustible supply of bows. And the third thing I need is a chariot, a celestial chariot, which can drive in any direction. So Agni says, oh, that's easy, I can arrange those things. So then he calls Varuna and Soma. And he calls them and he gives them the celestial chariot and the bowl which was required to ignite those celestial weapons. And then he gives them the ratha, the celestial chariot, which was drawn by the celestial horses, and that can be going in any direction. And he gets actually two quivers, not one. And they have inexhaustible supply of bows. So then Krishna said, okay, you know, you fight with the people, I'll drive your chariot. So Krishna took the role of a chariot driver again, And Krishna drove the chariot and Agni started devouring the forest. And Arjuna, if you see this, Arjuna and Krishna, here the picture is wrong because they were together. There are two chariots shown here, but they are in one chariot. So as Agni started devouring the forest, Krishna started riding the chariot and Arjuna started fighting. Not fighting exactly, he started with his bows and arrows, and he was just waiting for Indra to shower the torrential rains. Indra saw this and he started pouring the rain. But because Arjuna had all these weapons, you know, he covered the entire thing with his weapon like a umbrella. And not a single drop of water could come. And they were also not allowing all the animals, birds and all these things, insects and whatever trying to leave the forest, they were trying to stop all these things. Indra was really mad. So what he did is, he brought all his weapons and started throwing all his weapons, but he could not stop Arjuna. Then he brought all the demigods and they started attacking Arjuna and Krishna, but they were completely unsuccessful. Then he heard a voice. Indra heard a voice that this is ordained, they are unstoppable and you cannot stop them. But he still tried and nothing happened. And finally, you know, he was happy because he knew that Arjuna is his son. So he was happy and he said, I will give some benediction to you. what benediction you want. So he said, I want all your weapons, please. Give me all your weapons. He said, I'll give you in a proper time. When time comes, I'll give you all your weapons. When Lord Shiva gives his Pashupatastra to you. So out of this forest also came one daitya. And that daitya was, name was Maya Danava. And he was a mystic, and he was helping all the other daityas to do all the diabolical activities. So he started running out of the forest. As he was running out of the forest, Krishna saw this. And Krishna knew who this person is. So he released his chakra. Krishna released his chakra. And at the same time, one side Agni is attacking, other side Krishna's chakra is attacking. So seeing this, Maya Danava gets confused and he sees Arjuna and he wants protection. So he goes directly to Arjuna and catches hold of his leg and says, please protect me, please protect me. Arjuna, being a Kshatriya, you know, he has to protect, because if somebody comes to him, you know, he has to do his job. So he said to Krishna, Krishna, please release this guy, don't kill him. And then Krishna was happy to see that Maya Danava was taking shelter of a devotee. So even if a demon is there and if you take a shelter of devotee, Krishna becomes happy. That's the lesson to learn for us. So Krishna becomes happy and then he takes back his chakra. So Maya Danava, by Arjuna's act, he was pleased. So he said, I want to give you something. Please ask for something. I want to give you something. He said, Arjuna said, I don't want anything, but if you want to please me, you can ask Lord Krishna for something, and then if he is pleased, I'll be pleased. So Krishna said that, no, I don't want anything. You can build a palace or assembly hall for Maharaj Yudhishthir, because you are expert in that, that would be a very nice service. So Maya Danava said, okay, I can do that, but I know some very beautiful jewels and all other things which is required to build this, so it will take me some time. So he brings back his friends like Kinaras and Gandharvas and all this, and he builds a beautiful assembly hall for Maharaj Yudhishthir. And then then he gives also some benediction, some gifts to Arjuna, and those gifts were that he gave a club. He gave Devadatta, the conch, Devadatta, to Arjuna, and he gives his club to Bhima. Also, Agni was very happy because his indigestion took care, so he was very happy. So he said, he gave benediction to Arjuna, and the benediction was he can travel in the entire planet without anybody checking him. So Arjuna, in this previous verse, or in this 15.8, in this verse, he attributes this victory over the demon, over the demigods, to Lord Krishna. So he says, because he was near me, it was possible for me to conquer with great dexterity the powerful kings of heaven, Indradev, along with his demigod associates, and thus enable the fire god to devastate the Khandava forest. And only by his grace was the demon named Maya saved from the blazing Khandava forest, and thus he could build our assembly house for a wonderful architectural workmanship, where all the princes assembled during the performance of Rajasuya Yajna and paid you tributes. So after this incidents happen, Krishna leaves for Dwaraka. But Maharaj Yudhishthir wants him back at Indraprastha. So he said, we should have something to bring Lord Krishna back. So he arranges Rajasuya Yajna. And he said that Lord Krishna will preside over this. Rajasuya
Yajna. Devadatta is one. What is the other one?
The club he gave to Bhima. The club. I think I don't know the name of that.
So
but it was a special club. And he said with that, it is become practically invincible by using that club. I have 9 minutes. I don't know whether I'll be able to do the next two pastimes. I have shortened the pastimes like anything. And this is defeating Jarasandha. The 9th verse. Let's read the verse quickly.
Arya anujasa tadata chatvidhaya tena arta pramathanatha makhya bibhaya yatmochita tat anirmalim adhite.
Your respectable younger brother who possesses the strength of 10,000 elephant killed by his grace Jarasandha, whose feet were worshipped by many kings. These kings had been brought for sacrifice in Jarasandha's Mahabhairava Yajna, but they were just released. Later they paid tribute to your majesty. So Jarasandha was a king of Magadha. And Jarasandha, the name is because of his birth, you know, he took birth in two parts. His father, Brihadrath, had two queens, but they had no child. So he went to the forest and he gets benediction and he gets a mango from the rishi. And he said, you cut it into half, two half, and give it to both your queens and you should be able to conceive child. Anyway, when the child took birth, there were two halves. So the king threw it in the forest. And in the forest, there was a demoness named Jara. And she was very happy to find these two different separate bodies. And she was curious to see these two half bodies. So she joined those two bodies. And it became one. So that was Jarasandha. So she brought it back to the king. And the only way to kill him was to tear him apart. There was no other way. So after the Khandava thing happened, you know, Krishna went back and Maharaj Yudhishthir planned to do the Yajasvi Yajna. So he sent his messenger to Dwarka to call Krishna for the Rajasvi Yajna. But at the same time, another messenger comes from Bihar or Magad and to Krishna and say they wanted protection because Jarasandha has captured 20,800 kings and he puts them under a hill and he's giving those kings one by one in sacrifice to Mahabhairava. It's a Kali, war form of Kali. So he's sacrificing those kings. So they wanted protection. So now there are two requests. One is Rajasvi Yajna, other is protection for Jarasandha. So Krishna turns to Uddhava, who's friend. Uddhava says, out of these two, Jarasandha vada is required because Rajasvi Yajna should not be performed when there is another powerful king already existing. So, Uddhava gave a plan that Jarasandha has a very big army, so you cannot, and it is very difficult to defeat him like that. So, you should take him one-on-one. And he said that you dress as Brahmanas, go to Jarasandha and request for fight. So, Arjuna, Krishna and Bhima, they go to Jarasandha in the form of Brahma, and he was surprised to see that, you know, they were all bodily stretchers and all this thing, that they are not Brahmana. He was surprised that these are not Brahmanas. But he said, okay, I am charitable to Brahmanas, I'll still give charity. What do you want? So Krishna said, we want to fight. So then he understands that this is Krishna, this is Arjuna, and this is Bhima. So he says that I'll not fight with Krishna because he is coward. I'll not fight with Arjuna because he is inferior. But I'll take Bhima one on one. So they had fight for 100 days. They fought with each other. Finally, Krishna takes a twig and he shows Bhima that, you know, break the twig like this and tear him apart in the middle. So once you do that, he will die. So Bhima exactly did this and that's the end of Jarasandha. So they come back to Indraprastha and they perform the Rajasuya Yajna followed by the killing of Shishupal. Okay. So the next verse, which is the last verse, let's read it together.
Patpitya tava almuka kalpata maha abhisheka slagita charu kamabam kavita ikabhimya sprittam vikirya padayo patita sumekhya yatat vishaya alatha hesha gupta kesha.
So in this particular verse, Arjuna is saying, it is he only who loosened the hair of all the wives of the miscreants who dared open the cluster of your queen's hair. Arjuna is talking to Yudhishthira, that's why he is respectfully talking to him, because you know Draupadi was the wife of everybody, but you know he's saying your wife, your queen's hair, which had been nicely dressed and sanctified for the great Rajasuya sacrificial ceremony. At that time she fell down at the feet of the Lord Krishna with tears in her eyes. So as you know that Dushasana, he pulled Draupadi in the assembly with your hair. So this is a sin. But because Krishna was with them, they could take the revenge of this, and finally Bhima could defeat or kill all of them one by one. So Draupadi was dragged by her hair, and because of that the punishment was given that all the hairs of all the women were open after the Vedic system is, if the husband dies, women has to keep their hair open. So because of that, you know, Arjuna is saying that all the other queens have to loosen their, all the other wives of the other kings have to loosen their hair because of this activity. So Prabhupada says the Lord can tolerate insult upon himself by any miscreants, because the father tolerates even insult from the son, but he never tolerates insult upon his devotees. By insulting a great soul, one has to forego all the results of pious activities and benedictions also. So Lord can, the lesson to learn is Lord can tolerate insult on him, but he cannot tolerate insult on the devotees. 2 more minutes, so I'll stop here. Again, the summary is, the first 6 verses is Arjuna's symptoms, that he is overwhelmed and is remembering Krishna, his dearmost friend, who has left the planet. And then last 4 verses, he retells, he goes over one of all the pastimes one by one. And there are 7 more pastimes in the next 7 verses, 11 to 17, where he recalls all the other pastimes. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
The references are classes given by Srila Prabhupada, Unwilling the Lotus Feet, Bhakti Vaibhav classes given by his guest Bhujan Prabhu, and Ramapad Maharaj gave 2 different classes on this. Thank you so much. Hari Bol.